Pleasure to be back up here again, chance to talk with you. If you're here late tonight, it won't be my fault, I promise. I said my thank yous and a mushy service last Friday, so if you weren't here, tough luck. I've got a lot of information I'd like to give you, and hopefully a little time to share with you something that I would like to. There's been a tremendous change in Mexico since I first went down to down there. In 1982, it was an entirely different place than what you'd find today. There's places down in Mexico today that you'd think you're downtown San Antonio, Houston, any other major city. San Luis Potosí has 6 Walmarts, 2 Sams, 2 Home Depots. It's an entirely different deal. They have all the car dealers. They have Telsa. The Telsa car, charge Tesla. I don't own one. I can't even say it. they got the charging stations all set up down the highway now. So at these better gas stations, they're all. You just can't believe how it was when we first went down there. They had a Chevrolet dealer, and at times they had a Chevrolet car new in the showroom, and you could look at it. And you could put your name on the list, which you aren't going to get it unless you were a city father, somebody very wealthy, and hope me another car would come in that would replace it. It was a bicycle country, everybody on bicycles. The families were 4 generations living in 1 adobe house. And you go down there today, and there's huge apartment projects. There's subdivisions of houses. And it's entirely different. It's been a challenge to keep up with it in how we deal with people. And it's been a tragic deal because now with prosperity, they have apathy. For the first few years, they were poor. They were struggling to feed themselves. They had no relief, and if anybody come talking about any kind of hope, they were more acceptive. At that time, they were more fervent for their religion. I don't know when the last time I had a bucket of water thrown at me or a gun stuck to my head, which we've had in many occasions. We'd go to preach back in the old days, and they were coming out and pushing and shoving and hitting. And now we go down to the main Catholic event when they come to pay their homage to the Virgin of Guadalupe. Thousands of people. It's like a big circus out there with all these stands. And we're standing right at the front door preaching that Jesus saves and that Mary doesn't save. And they just ignore us. So you pray for that. Pray, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with apathy? And you guys have had that now for many years. So if you can help us out. We're in Pachuca, Hidalgo. That's 45 minutes from our house to the entrance, which we call the entrance. It's where you pay your toll to get off the toll road to go into Mexico City. 45 minutes. Pachuca is a bedroom city. They have almost no industry. They have the industrial center. There's a cement plant, and there's some little factory that does something. The only thing that has any size that does any employment is Walmart. They're the largest employer in Pachuca. Just 30 minutes to one side of us, there are 2 other little smaller towns that are filled with factories. And so people in Pachuca go over there to work and then come back to Pachuca. It's about 300,000 people now. And so it's a big city, and it's spread out, and one part of it is up in the mountains, right on the side of the mountains, and we went to look for houses there, and I wasn't about to walk up this mountain. You couldn't get your car up there, so went down to the flatland, and it was desert, and it's called the Windy City of Mexico. How do you say it, Susan? La Bella Arosa, the beautiful wind. And we went looking for houses, and we was going to move over there, and it dry at that time, and the dust was so thick you couldn't breathe, and no way we could live in that with our with Susan's sinuses, and so we went up this mountain. It's like 4 miles. You climb almost 1,000 feet, and you cross over the hill, literally over the hill, and you're in the start of the National Forest of Mexico. And it's in the clouds. It's in this fog a lot. It's green. It doesn't have the dust, and so we settled in there. The church. We have one young man with a lot of gift, and he can preach and he can teach. He can't be consistent. So pray for consistency for Edgar. Another young man, let's see. What was the other one? We have one young man that just got married, and he's got a lot of promise. He steps in when people know that, when he knows it needs to be done. He's taking his turn in preaching, and if nobody signs up for the preaching schedule for the Sunday morning meeting, you can count on him to be in on it. What we've done is we have a WhatsApp page for the church in general, and I'm getting 30 WhatsApp messages come in of all the different ones in the church, especially through this pandemic, of asking for prayer, giving words of encouragement, sharing a verse, and the church is in constant communication on the WhatsApp. We have another page that's just for those that participate in preaching and teaching. I got to noticing that those that were preaching weren't prepared. They got up and tried to take a thought and find something to say about it on the spur of the moment. And I noticed it because that's what I was doing. And so now, if you want to take a turn into preaching, by Tuesday night, you're supposed to have your outline on that page. Say, I want to take the Sunday meeting, and here's my outline. And that's worked really well. We've had improved all of our preaching because we're forcing ourselves to be prepared and have something worthy of the time, effort, investment that others make to come to the meeting. It's a lot of sacrifice. You all know. You give up your Sunday evening to come here. You gave up Sunday morning. You've been here this week through the week. And then to come and hear somebody look for something to say, it's not fair to you. It's definitely not fair to the calling of God. We have another man who has tremendous desire. He steps in, and he's really got the mentality that I think an elder should have. He can teach. He feels that. But he's on a constant look for anything that's out of place, any danger. We go out to do something, and it's always reminding, look, take care of your kids, make sure that, and he just has that attitude that he's just taking care of the church. But he's had some trouble with his own finances. He's borrowed and hasn't been able to pay back. And so pray for Alavid. He's got the heart. He's got so many things. And just one of the things that would be really tough for other people to allow him to be their elder when he still owes them money for 2 years. So it's kind of a tough deal there. Susan and I, what's our place in the church? Well, I don't like to be the elder. I don't like to be the one that goes, I shouldn't be the one to go give marriage counseling, or much less children counseling. My style of raising children went out the window with lawyers, and if beating them once didn't solve it, you'd do it twice, you know. I'm involved continually in the preaching and the teaching. I look for areas where we can improve, like I just explained on the WhatsApp, and put your outline on so we can improve the preaching. Before pandemic, we went to a 3-hour Sunday morning meeting so that we could have an open meeting, we could have a preaching, and we could have a teaching and I worked on teaching for some time, that there's a difference between preaching, applying God's word, and teaching God's word. A lot of people know it, and that's good. You need to do that, and then you have to apply it. And so we were working, and it's coming pretty successfully. We're going to teach some things, and now we're going to apply some things. And I was just getting to where we were going to try to coordinate that the teaching would be the same as what the preacher, a different person, was going to apply the same teaching on the same day. That was kind of my thought. But then this all hit, and so from there we went to WhatsApp meetings during the pandemic, and I made sure that we got everybody we possibly could to get involved. I went and talked to them, and I says, "We want you to take 15 minutes, just give your testimony, and somebody else another 15. Somebody, you give a 30-minute message." And we got everybody we could involved, men, women, children, and it held us together, and I think it even strengthened us through that time. It was a good time. I go preaching. We have this one young man that has his own schedule, and he first started to preach, and we're going to preach here, and then he was quite faithful. It became his ministry. I show up, and he asked me where I want to preach, and I'd say, "It's up to you. I'm here to support you." And he'd choose someplace, and, "Well, I'll go first then," and which I always did. And that was more because of my nerves. Before I got intermediate Spanish, I was so intimidated by listening to Bill or Joey speak Spanish that I couldn't follow them because I knew I wasn't going to be understood. So I just march out and start yelling and cross the ocean. Well, praise the Lord, I think people can understand me now. But that's another thing. Susan was, from the time we went down, teaching Sunday school, as the ladies do. And I guess it's been about, 3 years, maybe four years. We had several of the women in the church, the Mexican women were teaching, and they got together and said, "She's done her due. She's been teaching for 36 years, the young," and so they retired her. And so they've taken it over. They take care of all the women in the church, take care of all that. And she's went one-on-one with the women. She doesn't like the public speak. She never did from the time she was little when her daddy forced her to go up and sing with her brothers and sisters. She didn't want to do that. But so she goes one-on-one. And even when the pandemic got narrowed down, she was in contact on WhatsApp, but when the pandemic cooled off, she started having one come up for breakfast. She'd meet them down at their house. Restaurants were closed and things, so they'd come up and they'd have some time together. Most usually it turned into a real opportunity to counsel, to help them get through some things. And if nothing else, they became sisters in the Lord, loving and caring for each other. And that's where she really shines. And the ladies are anxious for her to get back down so they can have their brunch. And I have to go fix my own sandwich and that sort of thing. You guys pray for me because I am mistreated. What are our plans? We didn't plan on growing old in Mexico. We didn't plan on growing old at all, actually. But we have. We've moved a great deal through our marriage. We weren't married 2 months, and I said, one day to the next, we're going to Texas. We packed up everything, drove to Texas, and then it wasn't but a year and a half. We're going back to Michigan, and then I bought farms. The first 10 years of our marriage, we lived in 20 different places. I think we outdid you, Joe. Then we came to Mexico, and for 23 months, we were in the same house. It was unbelievable. And then it got crazy again, and we were in and out, different United States, Mexico, back in this house and that. We really don't want to move anymore. And Lord's going to have a personal conversation with me. I, I think I can be helpful there where I am. And if he don't think so, I'll need a telegraph and registered letter. We'll see how that goes. But that's where we are and what we're trying to do. The Lord has given us three different churches in Pachuca. We right away gathered up several families, and we found out that they were married, but not to each other. They had been married before. A couple had been to somebody else, and then they broke up, and then they've been together 15 years. They got three or four kids, and we suggest, why don't you get it right? Why don't you help it out? And then there's other things in their lives, and they just didn't want to take care of it. I says, you've accepted the Lord according, and now you won't take care of that simple thing. And most of them left. We had another bunch came in, got one some more, got some more people meeting, and they liked everybody else teaching and preaching and sharing and edifying them, and they didn't want to participate. And after you see others get up, you begin to feel pressured. Well, I should be doing this, and I don't want to, and they left. So we're in our third church already. Yeah, and we'll see. We hope that this bunch will say, I want to take the responsibility of a Christian and not just absorb and take the advantages. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 11. There's many places in the Bible where God steps in and does his correction, does his working. And one of the ones that has had the greatest effect on mankind is what we call the Tower of Babel. It's only 9 verses in the Bible, and yet it has continued to this day to be the strife in this world. The flood in Noah's time destroyed the earth, but it's healed up. Killed every animal and human being but those that were saved in the ark, but it's replenished. But what took place there in that valley of Sychar, with those people there, the consequences continue today. It said that he confused the language and the speech. To me, it has more than just the words that were said, but the mentality behind them. And what have you got all over the world? Different factions that now are warring with each other over anything under the sun. They're fighting for land, they're fighting for water rights, they're fighting for political reasons, and it all stems from that moment. What did those people do that was so annoying, offensive to God, to cause something that has been from that day to this day, and it will go on until he comes again, this much trouble to mankind? So it's been several months ago I started looking at that and said, why, Lord, would you, what was so terrible about that? So let's read chapter 11, 1 through 9, and then I'm going to just briefly give you the outline and then give you a chance to think about it. And the whole earth was one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Sychar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. If we can pause there a minute, if you remember Friday night, Nothing's impossible. That's where I got that. Reading that years ago. If you can imagine it, you can do it. Remember Dick Tracy, some of you older ones? Had a telephone in his watch? You younger ones, get smart, had a telephone in his shoe? How stupid was that? I got a telephone in my earpieces, my hearing aids. You can imagine it. God has given us the ability to do it. That's what I read. You can be doubters if you want, but I'm going to not be held back. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. You see, first of all, that they are together and they're one accord. I don't see that as a problem, since you go to Acts and you see that the apostles and the 120 or 30 were in the upper room in accord, one accord. And the Spirit of the Lord came and the Holy Spirit anointed them. They spoke in tongues. That oneness is not something that you want to fear, but you want to be in the right direction. And because they were one is not the problem. It was their goal. But then you go to verse 4 and it said, let us build us a city. Now they're treading on the wrong ground. God's building a city. God's building a city for us. The New Jerusalem. Joey mentioned it, said it was 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. That happens to be 7,436,483,980,800 square feet. That's 8.5 times bigger than Texas. On the first floor. On the first floor. So on the first floor, each one of us would have 930 square feet of our personal space. If there's only 8 billion people on the earth today. God's building a big city. And it's for us. You know what our job is, don't you? What our job is in that city? Think about it. They wanted a city of their design. They wanted a life of their design. They wanted their own rules. And they wanted their own name. I can see some things in there that would really aggravate the Lord. They were in competition with what God was building. Why did he give a punishment that is a curse to us to this day? They were challenging God's greatness. And then you look and it says, let us make brick. They rejected God's building material. Now there's a whole lot of things to say about brick. Anyone here ever laid very many brick? Anybody ever laid very many stone? Got anybody laid any stone? Nobody? There's one. How many rows can you lay a stone? You get very many and it's all going to come down. There's a whole lot of handicaps for laying stone. Brick is easy and fun. Does anybody realize that there is a brick wall in this building? Anybody know that there's a brick wall in this building? Anybody? You know where? He knows where one is. Anybody know where the brick wall is? It's the entryway, the main entryway. The one you're supposed to be coming in on, you know, off the street of Oak Knoll. There, I put up a brick wall there. You don't even know it. I went out and looked at it. It's still there. And the more I looked at this, I shouldn't have done that. I should have used a stone wall. What's God's building material? Living stones. Now, brick's got its advantage. You take and flip on the mortar. You take the point of your trowel and you put a groove down the center so it slides out the mortar, so it's got the edge. You grab up a brick, and they're all the same, every one of them. That's the beauty of a brick. You don't have to sort and match. You just grab up a brick, you slap mortar on the end of it, and you shove it onto the other one and grab it again, and away you go. Cement blocks the same way. High school, that was what I did in my off time. I laid brick walls cement block walls for basements when I wasn't farming. And, of course, I didn't study, go to school. But, that brick's wonderful. They got some drawbacks. That old red brick in Mexico, you got to soak that. Donnie here tonight? No? He was a little guy, and he was wetting the brick for us when we were building those houses. And you'd take three or four of those brick and dump them in a bucket of water, and it sucked up that water. If you didn't do that, you'd go to set it on your mortar, and the brick underneath has already sucked the mortar out of the moisture out of the mortar. You put the one on the top, it sucks it out so fast that it doesn't set. There's a difference between the mortar drying and the mortar setting. And when it dries, it turns to sand. And when it's done properly, it grabs the two bricks and holds it together. And if you don't wet that brick, it's going to suck the moisture out too fast. It's absorbent. How many things do you absorb in your life? Are you a living stone, or are you just a brick that just sucks up the moisture? You suck up all the trash that anybody comes to you. I think there's a verse that talks about itching ears. Just whatever else you got to say, I'll listen. I'll take it in. I'll mix it with my doctrine. God wants stones. The reason stones are so hard to lay is because they don't absorb moisture. So you put your mortar on, you set your stone very carefully, because that mortar's still soupy. And you got to hold it for a minute and hope that that mortar sets up. You let go of it and the mortar hasn't soaked up because nothing's absorbed it. It's really hard in a humid day to lay rock. My dad and I did a bunch of remodeling of these old houses that had a Michigan cellar. We go down in and had a 4-foot rock wall holding it up, and we dug it down by hand, threw it all out, and went down 9 feet so we could have a basement. But now we don't have a foundation. Now that I'm older, why didn't we just pour concrete? But old dad wanted a rock wall, so we're laying rocks, not like you usually do. We're going backwards. We're holding them up, putting a stake and have to let it set till the next day, and then we pull that stake out and put another one under. We laid the walls upside down. We weren't that smart. Yeah, there's a real advantage to brick, and there's a real disadvantage. Probably the thing that hurts the most is that everyone is the same. But most people think that's a good thing. They want to put everybody with the same haircut, the same uniform. They don't want no differences. It's a lot easier to manage a church that has no personality. Everybody the same. We don't have no competition because everybody is just as dumb as the other guy. You don't have competition because somebody can do it better than you can. Because you're all the same. And I don't understand it. We are made gloriously in the image of God Himself. How can we all be different? If we're made in the same image of the same God, how can we be different? We are. Different gifts, different abilities, different ways of seeing things. You read a passage and think of something. I read the same passage and I see something different. And they're both right. How is that possible? Why is it possible is the best question. Why? Not any one of us can represent Jesus Christ as He is. It takes all of us. And we're getting closer. to representing Jesus Christ as He is. It takes our difference. That's what makes us strong, and that much makes us complete is our difference. Amen. Something I have to go on in Mexico with these brothers. They get so much jealousy between them. He can do that and you're not letting me do that. Well, you don't have the ability. I'm sorry. I'm not going to have you drive nails when you do 1 an hour and he does 20 a minute. You know? We're here, each one of us, for a purpose, and that is to express Jesus Christ, and it takes all of us to do it. And if we're all the same, we wouldn't do it. And because of the rift between us, because we aren't the same, we don't have the same, we're limited. Another problem that brick have is they deteriorate. We were building apartments in Houston, and the rage of the day was rustic brick from Mexico, and they come in with semi loads with all this brick that was hand loaded on these big long semis, and they always brought four unloaders, and they had these brick clamps, and they could grab two, and they set them down, and another guy would bring up two empty ones, and they would switch, and they'd unload a truck in no time. Pretty amazing, tons of bricks. They'd unload all these bricks from Mexico, and they were beautiful bricks. They were earth-toned, and they were kind of rustic-looking. And they put them on these apartments, and they put them on million-dollar houses up in the north side of Houston. It started to rain. And those brick washed off the wall. They went down across the sidewalk and right down the street. They had the news cameras out taking pictures, and these buildings were disappearing. Man-made bricks deteriorate. Living stones, the more water you put on it, the better they get. The water of the Word, brother. You become stronger. You ever think of that? You pour water on anything dead, it ruins it, deteriorates it. You pour water on things that are living, it grows, bears fruit. God knows what He's doing. He looked down at these guys and he says, "You guys, you're building a building out of brick?" Another problem they had is they think that they could build a building material. They thought they created brick. No, they transformed mud. God is the only creator.
Amen.
There, man hasn't made anything. They're struggling to discover what God made.
Amen.
I don't know how many elements there are now. I think in 79 they found the last one that they want to admit to of the elements on the element chain. And I doubt if they found them all yet. Man hasn't created anything. Transformed, made a use for what God created. And I'm sure they thought they had created brick. We're going to fire that stuff. We're going to burn it. We're going to cook it and make it strong. And I doubt at that time they could get 1,200, 1,500 degrees, which it takes to make porcelain. But so brick's a problem. How far did I get? Then there's the other word that, verse 3, and I don't know, they use slime. I have no idea what it was made out of, but it don't sound good, does it? Yeah. You know what the mortar between the living stones is supposed to do? It's supposed to hold me in place. It's supposed to help me not bother you. It's to be a protection. You don't want your stones touching each other. Ever. You need the mortar. And you don't use pure cement, you put lime with it. And why is that? Pure cement doesn't have any flexibility. You put some cement, mix it with lime, and you get, that's what you do to get mortar. It has a little flexibility. We need some flexibility, brothers.
Amen.
I hate to tell you, some of you are offensive. I doubt if I am, but some of you are. No, I remember a day when some brothers come to me and said, Mike, we got to talk to you. You are offensive. And I couldn't believe it. How is that possible? I'm such a nice guy. Yeah, I call you no good for nothing, and you probably are. And, you know, I don't know what all the deal was, but I offended some people. Then I got to looking, and God said that all offend. All of us offend. We need some mortar between us. And what is the mortar to be? Well, some churches try a lot of things. Not bad things. And it's not bad if we had some of those things. Potluck dinner is a good one. Maybe play some baseball like we used to when we were young, and basketball. What does Philippians 1:5 say? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. The mortar that holds us together is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't change. It's consistent. It's powerful. And we can be together. If we took a survey, we probably got all the kinds of political thinking in this room you could have. We've got all the different kinds of things that people like to do and don't like to do in this room. But we can still be together. We can still love one another. And we can be in the wall that God's building together because of the mortar between us.
Amen.
Now, being laid up in God's wall as a living stone doesn't mean you get to come like you want to. If I remember where that verse is, I got it written down. Isaiah. I believe that's it. Verse 10, 9:10, Isaiah 9:10. Another verse that shows that God doesn't want bricks. It says, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedar. Hewn stones. When you're a brick mason, you're not just a bricklayer like a stonemason. You're not just like a bricklayer. You're a stone mason. You have a spot there. It's a strange shape, and you dig through your stones. You find one that comes close, but it's got a point that you don't like. It doesn't fit. You have to hewn it. Living stones doesn't mean God's not going to work on you. Chip you off. Now that's a knob on there that's offensive. You're offending brothers with that thing, and they take it off and maybe a little more. I'll turn it over and flatten this a little bit. And then you get set in just right with just the right amount of mortar. And he'll hold you there for a little bit till the mortar begins to set. Now I can move on. That's what has to happen to us. We have to be hewn. None of us, excepting the Lord, come in the perfect shape and size to go on the wall. We have to mature and we have to grow up. That's the purpose of the church. To help one another. Edifying one another. Exhorting one another. The other thing that says there, and then there's the tower. I don't know if they taught that to me in Sunday school or if I just come up with that myself, but my idea was that the tower was built up to heaven so that man could go see God. Go up and look his city over. Go up and see, you know, how's your city coming out, God? Impress me. No. They built that tower so God would come down and see them. They were building their city. They didn't want to go to God. They wanted God to be impressed with them. They were building their name. Remember, we're going to have a name. That tower wasn't for man to get up there so God would come down and be impressed. Well, God came down and he was not impressed. He came down. It's an interesting verse. If you go back there to Genesis, verse 7, go to, here's the God speaking, go to, let us go down. The three of them came down. All three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's go down and look this over. And they went down and they saw man trying to impress all around him, including God himself. We build a lot of towers. We do a lot of things to try to impress people of what we are. In this world and even in spiritual things. What's your purpose for the spiritual work you do, for what you do for the church? Is it to build a tower to make a name for yourself, or is it that God would come down? So God comes down and say, yeah, I see this is for you. Or are you just doing the work, being helping God put together some living stones? I asked you a question in the beginning. What is it that is our job in the building of the New Jerusalem? It's filling it. Our job is to win souls, to dig out of the rubble some living stones that God can hewn and shape and place in the wall the way he wants. I have a different view after looking at this for several months. The secret of what we should be doing is right there. We're to be there, being built into the wall that God's building. Amen. We need to put our labors aside. We need to put aside our ideas of what the proper building material is and let God build us together into a wall.
Amen. Amen.